Let's prepare our hearts, our minds, as we go, as we get ready. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we lift up Pastor John to you right now. We pray your anointing upon him. And Lord, we pray that you would sharpen the sword today. Lord, that we would lay that on that grindstone, that we would turn it, we would have a fine edge upon that sword, one that would cut right to the bone and the marrow, to the soul and the spirit. Lord, that would divide the truth from falsehood. Father, we pray that you just bless this word today. Bless Pastor John as he brings forth your word. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week, if you were here, I spoke about putting our hope in God, the God of all hope. And I encourage you, if you are sometimes feeling like down, discouraged, depressed, to feel like you've lost hope, please listen to that message. I really believe God can use that message to touch you and give you hope. We saw that when the Bible speaks about hope, it's not talking about wishful thinking or dreaming, and it's actually the way that hope is spoken of in the Bible, it's talking about a confident expectation of things to come. Something that is coming, a hope that will not disappoint. That's what it says in the Bible. So we have a confidence in that hope because it's God that we put our hope in, not in things. But our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in God, what God is going to do. And it all comes down to a matter of trust. Trusting God. How much do we trust God? That's what it really comes down to. Would you be willing, and I'm actually going to be sort of taking that off today, taking off on that today, talking about giving up things for God, whatever it might be. Giving of ourselves, giving up, giving to others, giving up something that's not good for us or right for us. And so I was thinking, you know, this has to do with trust also. Trust is a very important thing. It's part of the core beliefs of a Christian, is to put our trust in God. And so I asked the question, how are you willing to trust God? Would you be willing to walk into a fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? That was a pretty hard one, right? Or what about walking into a lion's den like Daniel did? Or what about facing a giant like David? You know, those are just a few stories out of the many, many, many stories in the Bible that are given to us, meant to encourage us and inspire us and show us that when we put our trust in God, God can bring us through those terrible times. In all those situations, they all came out of that smelling like a rose. Every one of them, they came out victorious. Look at the apostles. They were all willing. We're talking about this, remember, giving up for God here, giving it up for God. And look at the apostles. They gave up not only their occupations, they just walked away from them. They walked away from families. They walked away from their jobs, their boats, their nets. And they followed after Christ. And eventually they gave up their lives. And they did it without any fear. At the beginning they were afraid. But once they got hold of what God had for them, once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, once they began to understand what Christ had for them, they trusted God enough to believe and to know that there was something far greater, far more important to them than anything that they could have on this earth. All they had to do was put their trust in and follow after Jesus. When Peter was asked by Jesus if he wanted to leave, there were a bunch of the disciples were leaving Jesus. They said, "Wow, these teachings are too hard for us. We don't think we can follow after this man." And so Jesus asked him, "Are you going to leave me too, Peter?" And here, this was Peter's answer. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's in John 6:68. Peter understood. There's nothing more important than following Christ. Even today, we've seen pictures of Christians kneeling down, wearing their orange jumpsuits, or being beheaded. Homes burned, churches burned, all kinds of things are happening. Right now, Christians are the most persecuted people group in the world. It's happening all around the world. There will always be people against Christians. You can count on it. A lot of people just do not want to face the truth. They do not want to face the judgment of God. They do not want to face a God who, you know, is such a powerful, all-knowing, all-encompassing God. They want to follow after themselves instead of after God. Well, these people that we saw in those pictures, they were willing to give up their life. And in fact, there was one story in one of them where there was another man who was just coming by and said, if these guys are that committed to their faith, I want to be with them. And he knelt down beside them and gave up his life. They knew that there was nothing in this world that could compare to what Christ had to offer them. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? Enough to give it all up for God? How much would you be willing to give up for God? Luke 14:33, Jesus says, those of you who do not give up everything? Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Whoa, did you ever see that scripture before? Luke 14:23, Jesus said it, or 33, excuse me, 14:33. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. God is looking for a people who are ready, willing, and to trust Him completely, surrendering themselves and everything they have to Him, being willing to give it all up for God. Now, does that mean that God wants us to be paupers and beggars and not have everything, give up all our material possessions and everything? Not at all. That's not what this means. He doesn't literally mean if we become a Christian, then we're going to have to give everything away and walk around naked and broke. That's not the idea of what being a Christian is about. What it really means is that we would have to give up the things that would come between us and Jesus. The things that might cause us to sin. Whatever would get between us and Jesus, we would give that up for the sake of the kingdom. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? In Genesis 22:2, God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go up to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Now this is the son of the promise. Remember Abraham and Sarah, they were promised a son who was going to be, you know, give them generations. And here now God's telling them to sacrifice him. Did he end up sacrificing his son? Did he give him up? Did his son die? No. Not at all. Abraham went up there. He was more than willing to do it. It was a test to see if he was willing to give it all up for God. Even his precious son. And he passed the test with flying colors. And because of that, he was blessed abundantly. And not only him, but all of his descendants, all the way down the line, all the children of the promise, which is us even. All those who put their hope in God, their trust in God. When we learn this lesson of trusting God, something happens. When we are able to give it all up for Him, when we trust God enough to do that, no matter what it is, blessings, the blessings of God begin to come our way. Our life begins to change because we're now realizing what's really important in life. Not our pleasure, not what we want, not what this self wants, but what's really important is what God wants. If we want to receive joy, peace, abundant blessings, all kinds of good stuff, and in particular, eternal life, then we need to put our trust in God. In Matthew 19, 29, and everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields or whatever for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. What Jesus is saying is that we have to put him ahead of everything. Everything or everyone. Always putting Jesus first. Do we literally have to give up those things? Not usually, but if it's something that would prevent us from getting close to God or cause us to sin, then yes, we have to give it up. Sometimes we think, you know, in our mind, we're hearing a message. We think theoretically, oh, yeah, I can give up. I can do that. I can give up everything. Sure, I could walk in that furnace. And may not sound all that hard. But then when we get to that place where the rubber meets the road and we have to deal with this flesh, this carnal nature, this thing we call self, all of a sudden we find out trusting God can be hard. It can be really hard. Matthew 26, 41 says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our self is dedicated to serving one thing, itself. This self, this flesh, is dedicated 100% to serving itself. That's why Jesus tells us over and over in the Word we have to deny ourselves. This fleshly carnal nature always wants, always strives. It's ambitious, it's jealous, it's greedy. And it loves to be pampered. Doesn't it? Oh man, I just want this. I just want that. Oh, if I could just get this. That's our flesh. Our selfish nature wants to be the center of the universe, where everything revolves around it, where it gets what it wants, when it wants, where everything about self is me, me, me. This is what we're fighting against. This is the hindrance to us trusting in God. God wants us to trust in Him. In our spirit, we're willing. But this flesh here is so weak, it only wants what it wants. So then what happens? We reject God to serve our flesh. It's the worst thing that we could do. We're setting ourselves up for disaster. Not only be in sin, but we'll be miserable, we'll become obnoxious, and it leads to death. But fortunately, there's an antidote. Just like if you got hit with some terrible virus or some, you know, terrible infection, and we think, oh, is there some type of help? Is there something you can do for me? Is there an antidote? Well, there is an antidote for self. And it comes right from God. And He set this antidote in motion when He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God started this process by giving us His Son, by the giving. It's this process of giving that is important. 2 Corinthians 9:15 tells us that thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. this gift that God gave us. He gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive for anyone. James 1:17 tells us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Jesus carried it even further when he came here and became a servant, and he gave us something. He gave his life so that we could live. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you have received, now freely give. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You want to be blessed? You better be a blesser. You want to be blessed? You got to learn how to give. Give it up to God. Jesus is making it very, very clear. We have to be givers. Why is giving so important? Because giving, as I said, is the antidote to our sinful nature, to that thing that wants to just take. Our sinful nature wants to take, wants to own, wants to do, wants to feel. It's all bringing in, taking in, take, 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 take. And God's saying, no, give, give, give. Giving is an act of love. God so loved the world that he gave. It's because of his love that he gave his son. Because when Jesus loved us so much, he gave his life. True godly giving is an unselfish, unselfish act of love. Every time we give up something for the love of God, every time we give someone else, to someone else, give up something for God, what we're doing is we're taking another piece of our selfish nature and we're nailing it to that cross. It's all part of denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. In Acts 20:35, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a scriptural principle. A biblical principle that the greatest blessings go to the greatest givers. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's certainly not the thinking of our selfish nature or of this world system that we're in, but it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Our selfish nature just wants to gather, take it in, and hoard. Remember the story of the guy, I got so much, I got to build bigger barns so I can gather in everything I got and keep it all for myself. I need more, more, more. Mark 8:36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? According to God, greed is not good. In fact, he calls it a form of idolatry. Ephesians 5:5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Wow. 1 Timothy 6:10, you've probably heard this, but sometimes mixed up a little bit. A lot of people say that for money is the root. It's not. It's for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not all evil, but all kinds of evil. The love of money, because of that greed, because of that wanting, because of that taking, because of that selfishness. Most of what is wrong with our world today is about people who are bent on taking, getting. Taking what doesn't belong to them, taking what they shouldn't have, what they don't need, what's not good for them. So how do we overcome this natural human tendency to take instead of giving? It goes back to our core beliefs. As I mentioned earlier, do we really trust
God?
Do we know, understand, and believe that God has promised? God has promised to take care of us, to give us what we need. And if we trust God for that, why do we become so consumed with taking all the time? If we trust Him in His Word and obey His Word, He will supply all our needs. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply or meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. It all boils down to that issue of trust. Do we trust God enough to follow His word, not the cravings of our flesh? God will give us even more than we need, in fact. You know why? There's a reason. Because He wants us to be a blessing, a vessel of blessing to the world, to others. 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. There's that giving. God wants to give to you so you can give. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Our giving, our serving brings glory and honor to God. That's exactly what Jesus did. He brought glory and honor to His Father the whole time He was on this earth, because He did nothing but give of Himself all the time. He came, it says in Matthew 20:28, to serve, not to be served. That's all He did. That's all He ever did. He humbled Himself and became a servant. He served the whole time He was here. And then He told us, He sort of topped it off with this statement in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The ultimate act of giving. Laying down our life, literally, or just laying down our desires for others. So now that's our job. We're supposed to be changing from glory to glory, becoming more and more like Christ all the time. So our job is to follow in His footsteps. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7 explains it very well, how to do this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Don't let this self be the leader. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking into your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. We're supposed to have that kind of mindset. The same mindset as Christ Jesus, we're told right there. To humble ourselves, to give ourselves, to serve others. That's the antidote to this selfishness. Jesus became a servant. It means to give ourselves. Whether that means our time, our money, our talents, our abilities, our possessions, it doesn't matter. Whatever we have to give or give up, it doesn't matter. We have to trust that God is telling us, that God is telling us to give ourselves in whatever that situation is. God will speak to us. His Holy Spirit will speak life to us. And He'll make a way for us to give. Romans 12:1 tells us, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's your true and proper worship. God has been so merciful to us. He's forgiven us so much. He paid the penalty for our sin. He took it upon himself. He rescued us from certain death. And now he's asking us, in view of that mercy, to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. All he asks is that we be givers like he is. He led the way. He gave us the example. And he wants us to be used by him. He wants to use us as his hand of blessing, his mouth of blessing. He wants us to be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his eyes and his ears on this earth, to be a blessing so that the world will honor him, praise him, give him thanksgiving. When we get out of love, it's going to bring praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving to God. To love is to give. Think about it. To love someone, to really love someone, always means to be giving. Giving something. Sometimes it's things, but more often than not, it's ourselves. Can we trust God enough to deny this self and give it all away? Question I asked at the very beginning. You listen to that statement. That's a pretty hard statement. Can we trust God enough to deny ourselves and give it all away? To give up what is not good for us. To give up what is not good for our relationship with God. I know it's possible because I know that with God, all things are possible. We're going to fail sometimes, but we get right back up and do it again. God is waiting on you. God is waiting on you. He wants to pour out his abundant blessings on each and every one of us. And the more we give it up for him, the more he's going to pour out. It's real. It's true. This flesh doesn't want to believe it. But freely you give, freely you'll receive. The more you give, sow generously, reap generously. We give, and God gives back. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you have a hard time giving. Maybe you have a hard time giving up your time for somebody, giving up your something that God's called you to give up. Maybe that self is driving you nuts and you just don't like it. But inside, you know there's something there it's telling you, your spirit. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what we need to do is empower that inner being, that the Holy Spirit working in us, our spirit, and encourage, strengthen, get into God's Word, and begin to give. And the more we give, the more we give up for God, the more we do that, like I said, we keep nailing a little bit more of that flesh to the cross. Every time we deny ourselves, we get a little stronger for God. And it's worth it. I'm not saying we're going to be living a life of poverty. That's not what this is about. We're not living a life where, you know, we have nothing. That's not what God wants. His people, some of God's greatest servants have been some of the wealthiest people in the history of mankind. God's poured out his blessing on them. When he knows that we'll use what he gives us for his glory, he just starts pouring out more and more and more. That's the way God works. He tests us, like he tested Abraham. He tests us, and then once we prove ourselves, he starts to give more and more and more. And in the process, we get blessed. Right in the middle of all this giving, it's pretty hard not to be blessed. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you are a giving God. That you are a wonderful God, Lord, and you desire so much for us, Lord God. Your word tells us how much you love us, and Lord, how much you want to bless us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that we as your people would recognize this carnal, selfish nature, that we would recognize it, see it for what it is, and deal with it, Lord. That we would deny it, and that we would put our focus, fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we would truly become givers, that we would become generous. Lord, your word tells us that a generous person will be blessed. It's in Proverbs. Lord, we thank you that you're such a giving God, that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would pour out your abundance on your people here, Lord God, and that we would, in return, I pray that we would be strengthened and that we would give of ourselves to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.
Take it all away, magnify no other name. Open up my eyes to you. My sight is incomplete, and I made you look small. I've been staring at my problems for way too long. Realign where my hope is set, until you're all that's left. Just a glimpse draws my heart to change, and one side of you lays my sin to waste. I don't need to see everything.